Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. How's everybody doing today?
I am doing great. How are you doing, Kyle?
Good, Michelle. Good. Rodney behind the board. Hello, Rodney.
Rodney's doing great. He just gave us the thumbs up.
Yay. Yay. Okay. Well, we've got a great guest to visit with soon here. But first, let's get some news and updates out of the way. As always, we want to give a shout out and thanks to our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their sponsorship dollars to us that help produce this show and help us provide programs and education and grants and events to businesses and the community all along the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street corridor. So thank you, Department of Housing and Community Development and the Department of Small and Local Business Development. So news and updates, Michelle. The big thing to talk about until September 30th is the fact that Fall Fest is in business here.
Yes, it's in the works.
It is in the works. Vendor registration is open. There's just a short time left on early bird discount registration. So get over to riamainstreet.org to register your business. What we're looking for is we're always looking for food vendors. We're looking for arts, crafts, small businesses, services, community services, health services, you name it, civic associations, folks in the neighborhood. If you are listening and you are part of a civic association, get your civic association to sign up as a vendor, because you know what better way to do outreach to future members of the community or members of the community that may not be members of your civic association.
We find out a lot of happenings in the neighborhood at Fall Fest. Things
right.
I mean, you could have lived here for years and years and didn't know some of these things that are happening.
Right, right.
So this is the time to showcase.
It is, and we've got so many small businesses that are based here in Ward 5 and in DC, and maybe they only do business at festivals and markets and things like that. They don't have a brick and mortar location, but you know, they're at Fall Fest every year, like Popcorn Queens.
Oh, I was thinking about them.
Yeah. Popcorn Queens, we've never failed to
get people hooked on the popcorn.
That's true. And, Capital Candy Jar that's been at our Fall Fest for the last several years. I don't think this is a secret anymore, but you know, they're looking at a spot on Rhode Island Avenue Main Street for a brick and mortar location. If it's a secret still, Dave, I'm sorry.
The secret's out.
But this is how excited we are about it. What are some other great vendors? Well, what our guest today,
You're not going to spoil it.
I'm not going to spoil that, but you know, they've been a guest at Fall Festival every year since the very beginning. We've already got some great sponsors signed on. The Minkiti Group, Rhode Island Row, Mid-City Development. And if you're interested in sponsoring the event, or any event, give me a call at 202-808-9050 or shoot me an email at kyle@riamainstreet.org. Fall Fest is also looking for performers and volunteers. It's always a fun time to volunteer for Fall Fest. You get a free t-shirt out of the job and free coffee from Zeke's. They always give free coffee to our volunteers. So again, that date is Saturday, September 30th. It will be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Head over to riamainstreet.org to find out more and to sign up to be a vendor, a sponsor, a performer, or one of our many valued volunteers. All right. So that's all on Fall Fest right now. We'll have more to talk about that the closer we get. I also got some great news in email the other day that it looks like the Great Streets grants are going to be out again. And that's always a big deal for the small businesses here on Rhode Island Avenue and throughout the district. Great Streets grants are awarded by the deputy mayor for planning and economic development. They aren't a grant that we have any control over who gets them. But Rhode Island Avenue, the corridor along our Main Street boundaries and parts of the Brookland Edgewood area are all designated as one of the great streets that are eligible. And businesses can apply for these grants to use on things like infrastructure improvement. You know, if they want to upgrade their HVAC or their wiring or their plumbing, or if they've got some heavy equipment purchases to make, like big coolers or ovens or heavy duty counters or, you know, something like that.
This is a grant.
Okay. Yeah. So. Last go around, the grants were up to $50,000. I don't have word yet on what the amount of the grants will be. But, you know, they're getting more competitive. So start now thinking about what you would like to do in your small business as far as improvements or purchases. Last grant session, they also allowed for soft costs like software purchases, like point of sale software or bookkeeping or hiring an architect or a designer for redoing the interior. So there's a variety of soft costs available, and there are some businesses that are not eligible. I don't know what the criteria is this year, but each go around there have been, you know, clusters of business types that aren't eligible. I think they try to focus on businesses that are going to actually have customers coming in, and making purchases or closing contracts or whatever the situation may be on those premises. So it's not like they're going to historically.
If you're internet based.
Yeah. If you're internet based, or, you know, you've got, you know, you're like out of a shared workspace, mm-hmm. and you go out to clients, I don't think they provide grants for things like that. But we'll see what the guidance is on that when we actually get that. We have extended an invitation to the DMPED Great Streets team to join us here on Rhode Island Avenue Radio as soon as they get the thumbs up with the final details on the grant guidelines. They will be on here and we'll hear more about it. But businesses that are interested, you can start now in collecting the information that you're going to need. Number one, you're going to need all the documentation that you are in good standing with the District of Columbia. So your clean hand certificate, make sure that your taxes and permits are all up to date. You're going to want to get some estimates for the costs of the materials. And I think you get bonus points if you use one of the district's certified business enterprises, the CBE, meaning they are a district-based business and they are registered with the Department of Small and Local Business Development as such. And you can visit dslbd.dc.gov and click on CBEs to find out more about the businesses that are available to do some work for you. And go ahead and get your business details ready. They're going to want a pro forma, meaning how's your business doing, and, you know, what do you think the impact of this improvement, whatever it is you're thinking about doing, how's that going to impact your bottom line? How is it going to improve your sales? How is it going to allow you to hire more people? How is it going to help you grow and expand your business? Be thinking about that story, because when you know, this is a whole different topic. We could talk a whole day or two about grant writing, but, you know, when you think about grant writing, the biggest impact on that, besides the hard, cold data, is telling your story. So if part of your story for going after one of these Great Streets grants is, you know, if I do this, it will increase my sales X percent and will allow me to hire two new full-time employees. You know, that's the kind of thing that the government grants love to fund, because we want to hire our residents and we want to see our small businesses grow. If you need help writing those grants, you can visit greatstreets.gov. I believe that's the website. You can also visit DMPED, D-E-D-E-D-M as in Mary, P as in Paul, E, D as in dog, .dc.gov, and then click on Great Streets. But I think the direct thing is greatstreets.gov. And number one, look at the boundaries. Make sure your business is in those boundaries. And number two, there's a list of organizations that can help you with that grant writing. So reach out and get started. Be thinking about that now. And as if that wasn't good enough, the Great Streets team, I know, will be joining us at our next Bottom Line Sessions Happy Hour. And that is a happy hour for small business owners in the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street area. It's open to current and future business owners for the greater Rhode Island Avenue Main Street area. That means, you know, folks throughout the Ward 5 area can join us if they want to. And you may want to this time, specifically this time, but you're always welcome. The happy hour will be July 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Carolina Kitchen. And they have a fantastic bar, in case you haven't been there yet. We believe that the Great Streets team will be there on July 25th talking about the Great Streets grants. So come get an early sneak peek. Come on. Guess what I'm going to talk about next, Michelle?
I don't know. You've already talked about Fall Fest. I don't know. You're going to surprise me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are we going to talk about the end of the year? Procrastinators Market? I don't know.
No, we're going to wait till the end of the year
okay,
to talk
good.
About that.
Okay,
because wait till the last minute on
All
that.
All right.
No. We spent, we meaning me and a couple of my board members and some very stalwart volunteers and one of our interns, we spent Saturday putting out some new planters on Rhode Island Avenue.
I saw that on the interweb.
Have you seen the planters yet?
I have not.
We're going to have to get you back out on Rhode Island Avenue.
All
I
right.
can tell. No, we're very excited because we received a grant earlier this year from LISC, Local Initiative Support Corporation, to buy some heavy-duty planters. We bought a whole mess of them. They're the big, like, they hold 3 cubic feet of soil, and that may not sound like a lot, but the bulk of the planter itself is taken up with a water well. So you don't have to water it every day. You can fill it.
It
holds
nice.
Like 25 gallons of water. And our good friends at Annie's Ace Hardware donated soil and some plants for us. And so we got about 10 of those bad boys out on Rhode Island Avenue. And hopefully we will not have killed anything and we'll keep them going. So we're excited about that. And you'll see some around 4th Street. You'll see some along Rhode Island Avenue between 20th and South Dakota. So stop on by. And if you are interested in helping us keep those planters looking fresh and watered, then by all means, give me a call, 202-808-9050, for giving us some help with those planters.
How often do you need volunteers for that?
You know, as often as somebody.
As often as people would like, yes. Yeah, we need volunteers. We need our community volunteers, absolutely.
Yes, we do. And we love our community volunteers, and there's always a free T-shirt.
Even if you don't have a green thumb.
You don't even have
you
to
You don't have even a, have to have a green thumb.
No.
All
right. And one last thing before we get to our guests is had some listener questions. I put out a call for listener questions, and we got a question in on what's the status of the major streetscape improvement project for Rhode Island Avenue. You remember that, Michelle?
I do. All right.
This is one that Councilmember McDuffie worked with us on to get money in the budget for. This is a major project to overhaul the attractiveness of the corridor and parts of the infrastructure of the corridor. The status is that we are waiting for the design process to wrap up. Many of you will remember that there was a public meeting back in February to show everyone the first stage of design, the first round of design ideas. And there was a lot of good feedback about those design ideas. DDOT was taking everything back to the designers to try to incorporate as many of the community's suggestions and feedback as possible. We're supposed to hear something back the end of the summer, early part of the fall, on next steps on that. So that's the status update that we know, and we'll update you more as we know more.
Sounds
all right?
Good.
Okay. All right. I believe it is time that we talk to our next guest. We're going to be joined by one of our great Fall Fest partners, an organization that's been with us at Fall Fest since our very first Fall Fest in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Seabury Resources, and we are joined by Ms. Deborah Royster, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Seabury Resources for Aging. And Deborah, you've been there for 2 years now.
Yes.
Background is an attorney and senior executive with 30 plus years of experience practicing law. Wow. And now you're helping to take care of the folks at Seabury. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Kyle. And thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to talk more about Seabury's programs and services in the Washington region.
We're glad to have you.
We are glad to have you.
Thank you.
So tell us about Seabury and the services that you all provide.
Sure. Well, Seabury is a nonprofit that has existed in the Washington region since 1924. So we are about 92 years old, approximately, and we have a mission of serving older adults to provide services that help them to live independently in their homes and communities for as long as possible. So our services include affordable housing, transportation, nutrition services, case management services, and also support to our local congregations. Seabury is affiliated with two religious organizations, the Episcopal Diocese of Washington and the United Church of Christ.
So how do people find out about your services and if they qualify? You say it's nonprofit.
Yes. Well, we offer our services to the entire community, and many of our programs are funded through the District of Columbia Office on Aging. So the District of Columbia Office on Aging is a major partner. Those programs are available to all older adults in the District of Columbia who are 60 years of age or older. We operate the Ward 5 and Ward 6 lead agencies in for the District of Columbia Office on Aging, which means that we serve as the essentially as the ward coordinator for support services that are provided to older adults in those wards. Seabury is also very fortunate to be able to operate the Seabury Connector Transportation Service. That is another program that's funded through the District of Columbia government and is managed by the Office on Aging, a major program that has existed for many, many years, about 30 years. And it provides medical transportation transportation to and from medical appointments and other group-sponsored trips by the Office on Aging. And just to give you a sense of the scope of that service, in fiscal 2016, I think we provided over 200,000 trips.
Wow.
For residents across the city in all wards.
Wow.
That service operates 6 days a week.
And is that service, how does that service work? Do you have to be already pre-approved to utilize those services? Can anybody pick up the phone and say, oh, please?
Anyone over 60.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yes, anyone who is over 60 qualifies for the service. Obviously, it is a limited service in the sense of we don't have unlimited funds. So we try to provide those services, or provide services to those who are most in need. A significant percentage of our services are provided to older adults who are going to and from medical appointments, particularly dialysis treatment. So many of our customers will ride three times a week. Mm-hmm. We also take customers to and from other types of medical appointments. We take customers to and from adult daycare centers across the city. And then, of course, it's important to have social interaction and opportunities for social activities for older adults. So under the District of Columbia Office on Aging's programs, we also will take our customers on group trips to locations that are of interest to those customers.
So what is the criteria for selecting someone? Obviously, because the resources are not unlimited,
yes.
You can't be... Yes. Oh, a wealthy person, I would imagine.
Oh, actually, you can.
You could.
I mean,
okay.
There are no income limitations.
Okay.
Yeah. What a person would do would be to just call the Seabury Connector Service and enroll and request transportation, and then we would determine whether or not we have the capacity to be able to provide that transportation. If we can't, then we would make referrals to other service providers in the area. I should mention that included as part of the Seabury Connector service is what we call our Seabury Connector Card program. So this under this program, we give our customers a debit card, which they can use to obtain transportation through taxi companies, through ride-sharing services such as Lyft. So that's another way that we try to make sure that our customers are served. We're very, very pleased to have received what we call our Enhanced Mobility Grant. This was a federal grant that we work with the Office on Aging to get this grant. And now we will also be able to serve, in addition to older adults, we'll be able to serve persons ages 18 to 59 who need transportation services. So we're very pleased about that. Persons 18 to 59 with disabilities will be able to provide services to those individuals.
I gotta say that's fantastic to hear, because I was. Able to attend some of the council hearings this session addressing transportation issues for seniors and folks with disabilities, and you know, between the Metro Access and the, I believe there's a voucher program for folks to use.
Yes.
Both of those seem to be rife with problems, and the knowing that the Seabury Connector service is out there assisting the folks that need it the most, particularly, my goodness, on days like today when it's so
absolutely
hot, that's wonderful to hear.
As you probably know, you said in those hearings, the transportation landscape is a very complex and dynamic one.
That's a very nice way to put it.
Especially living in this area.
That's right. And there's a great need for transportation for older adults. When you look at all of the surveys that are done, transportation and housing is the other area. They're always the key needs that are expressed by older adults. The Seabury Connector is a service that has existed, as I said, for over 30 years. We have very high levels of customer satisfaction because we know the city, we know our customers. Most of our drivers are from this city, live in the city, they know these streets, they know our customers, and they are also highly trained. We provide them with training on wheelchair safety procedures, customer service, how to identify elder abuse, just a range of training, basic first aid, so that our drivers are equipped and skilled to be able to serve this special population. There are some people who will always need this type of, in effect, sponsored transportation because of their special needs. Mm-hmm. And we think that our drivers are very highly skilled and able to provide those services.
So we've talked a lot about the driving services,
yes.
But you had mentioned housing.
Yes.
Tell us about that portion of the
Seabury
program.
Seabury is a significant provider of housing in the metropolitan area. We have about 355 units of affordable housing. You may have seen our community in Ward 3 called Friendship Terrace. It's right over in Tinleytown. Mm-hmm. It has existed for many years, dating back to the 1970s. We're very proud of that community. We have 181 units of independent living there. We also have in the District of Columbia, not too far from here, in Ward 5, the Residences at Home First. That is a unique model of service where there are three group homes that provide affordable housing, a combination of independent living, and there are a few that are that have higher levels of care. It's called a community residential facility, these homes provide housing for older adults of modest and limited means and with a history of homelessness. Just to give you a sense of how successful this model has been, most of our residents have an average residency of 11 years.
Wow.
So it has been a very successful model, very much supported by the community. We have a very strong volunteer advisory council that helps to keep that program going. Folks like Elizabeth Fox, who've been really involved for years in making that program successful.
You know, I think the population in D.C. is almost stratifying. There's like a whole bunch of really young people, and then there's
yes.
a whole bunch of seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's
of
true.
Course, we want seniors to be able to age in place. They've lived in their homes all their lives, or they're not ready to be in a
assisted care. Yeah.
And so the older I get, the more hopeful I get about situations
right.
like this. So
most people want to live in their own home. They want to continue to live
right.
in their own
homes. Right, right, right.
And the thing is, if we keep living, we're all going to get older.
Absolutely. If we're lucky.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're seeing several residential complexes, multifamily residential complexes mm-hmm. going in right here in Ward 5 that are affordable senior housing. Does Seabury have involvement in those in the form of, does the transportation end connect with folks there?
Yes. Certainly our transportation services do. I should also mention that in addition to, I'll come back to to your question in just a minute. I wanted to make sure I mentioned that Seabury also owns and operates Springville Terrace in downtown Silver Spring. That is another community that, again, has existed since the 1970s. It was acquired through our affiliation with the United Church of Christ. We have 146 units of independent living and some assisted living in that community. It is one of the few communities in the downtown Silver Spring area that's really focused on affordable living, affordable retirement living, particularly for those who need a higher level of care, such as assisted living.
So yeah. I would imagine there's a waiting list for these services.
Both communities at this time are at full occupancy.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And just to give you a sense of the average rents there, I mean, at Friendship Terrace, I'd say the average rents are probably in the neighborhood of $1,000. Springville Terrace, at the assisted living level, it would be higher, but still less than what you would find at comparable assisted living communities. This whole issue of affordable housing for older adults is just a critical issue for all of us. We hope that we will have opportunities to add to our housing portfolio so that we can continue to increase the number of units that are available for older adults who choose to live in an independent living community or an assisted living community. But we also want to be able to serve those folks who choose to remain in their homes. And we have an array of services that are designed to support them as well.
That's
comforting to hear.
Yes, yes, it yes. is. And from the perspective of economic development, which, you know, that's kind of my job, so I gotta tie this all together.
Sure, absolutely.
Is you know, we always welcome residential density. So as the new housing comes online, or as our seniors are allowed to remain in their homes, you know, just because it's deemed affordable housing, or just because someone is 60 and over, it doesn't mean that they stop being part of the community.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that they don't want to go out and have a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. or have breakfast at the local diner, or shop at one of the local boutiques. In fact, that affordable housing makes it easier for them to be able to do that.
Right.
So,
and also to congregate with their community.
Which is very important.
Yeah.
The social
absolutely.
Interaction.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, the more people that we have out and about, you know, seniors sitting on their stoop are some of the best ways to keep eyes on shenanigans that there ever were.
Absolutely. I think Ward 5 has some particularly interesting and compelling dynamics because of the history of the ward. I grew up in Ward 5 in Riggs Park, 1006 Hamilton Street, Northeast. And, you know, in terms of the history of that ward, many of the residents there now who are in their 80s and 90s
have been there.
Came to this area as part of the great migration of African Americans who left the South mm-hmm. in the, you know, right. from the 40s through the 60s. And so those residents are at a, many of those residents are at a point where they either need to make a change in terms of the type of care they may need, whether they need a higher level of care, or they need a lot of in-home support services. I think there are, when you look at just where older adults live now in the city, Ward 5 has one of the highest percentages, probably right behind. I mean, Wards 3, 4, and 5 are kind of right up there. 3, 4, 5, and 7 probably have the highest number, a percentage of older adults. But I think Ward 5 has this has lots of issues of disparities in terms of, one, you mentioned the age disparity. You've got a lot of, you know, our younger population that's moving in, which is adding great vibrancy and diversity to the neighborhoods. You've got an older population that has some evolving needs, changing needs. You also have in Ward 5, as you have across the city, the issue of income stratification.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're a city of great riches, and then some of us don't have that. So when you look at the poverty, the percentage of older adults in the district living below poverty level, it's about 16%, which is significantly higher than it is in the surrounding jurisdictions. So those are issues that also factor into this picture and make it really important that we have more affordable housing for older adults in D.C. It's really critical.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me about, I read on your website that you all also have services for caregivers.
Yes. Yes, we have.
Because that's important. There are a lot of caregivers out there.
Caregivers are the unsung heroes.
They really are.
Of our time. So many of us are playing that role, and
many of us are playing that role for our parents and our children.
We're the sandwich
generation. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. Seabury provides support to family caregivers through our care management and case management services. And we also reach out to our congregations and support families through that process. Many times families get engaged through once you get to a point where your older relative, usually a parent, needs some type of additional assistance, and through outreach to case managers, social workers who help you to identify what those needs are. That's how we reach many family members. I'm a caregiver for my own mother, who's now 98 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, my first outreach as a family member and a caregiver really was to a social worker, similar to the social workers that we have in Ward 5 as part of our lead agency, activities. And really, it's the social workers who help family members tremendously in terms of, one, understanding where their loved one is and accepting those changes, helping the loved one to understand and accept those changes. Sometimes it's easier for you to hear it from a third party than it is to hear it from, you know, like...
From your loved one.
In my case, my mom really needed to make a change. She needed more support. She needed to move from independent living to assisted living, but she didn't want to hear that from Debbie, you know. But she listened to it when she heard it. She established a relationship with a social worker, and she could hear it. And then we were able to do what my mom needed to do, and she accepted that and she embraced that. And I had a great sigh of relief. So I think that's really where our connection to our family members comes in, largely through our social workers. And social workers, I also believe, are unsung heroes in our community. They deal with the messiness of life. They meet us where we are, mm-hmm. and they help us get to where we need to be.
Yes, right along with teachers and wait staff.
Absolutely.
Terribly underpaid.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So since this is a nonprofit, I imagine that you all take volunteers. How can people get involved if they are interested in helping out?
Well, all of our programs seek volunteers. One particular and very interesting volunteer opportunity is available through our Age in Place program. The Age in Place program operates in Wards 4, 5, and 6. And in that program, we work with community volunteers to go into the homes of older adults in those wards and do house cleaning and light yard cleaning services to help, again, to help folks continue to live independently. You know, it's important in the city for all of us to keep up our homes, to keep our grass cut, to not have overgrown weeds. And as you get to a certain point in your life, you may not be able to do that work. And so it is very helpful when you have volunteers. So we have youth volunteers. A lot of youth volunteers participate this program. We have corporate volunteers who also participate in this program. It's a great opportunity to really exchange and to dialogue with older adults and hear their life stories. Great intergenerational kind of exchange that occurs in those opportunities. So that's one opportunity. We have other opportunities. Seabury operates about 12 community dining sites. At the community dining sites, there is a meal is served, a lunchtime meal, which is really more like a dinner meal, really. Again, these are programs sponsored by the District of Columbia Office on Aging. We always need volunteers who will come out and speak to our participants, who will help with activities, help to plan activities. Those are just two areas where we can use volunteers. We can use volunteer support looking at some of our bigger other types of issues that we deal with, whether it's our IT infrastructure or whether we're looking at strategic planning issues. And we have worked with some professional volunteer match organizations on those types of activities as well.
That's terrific. This sounds like such good information for our community.
Yeah, and I'm looking at your website, which for listeners is seaburyresources.org. That's SEABURY resources.org. There's some beautiful pictures of your facilities here. I want to live in the Springvale Terrace.
All right.
This is gorgeous.
We're very proud of both of them. They have great staffs and lots of activities, whether seminars, exercise classes, planned trips. We also serve meals at those communities. So we're very proud of them, and we're really, these are programs that were started back in the 70s. Under the HUD Section 202 program. Mm-hmm. that program is not really available anymore. There's not funding available through that program. So the opportunities to expand don't exist that did under that program, but we're still looking for opportunities to expand this type of housing, affordable housing for older adults, because there's such a great need for it. And if you ever get a chance, please come out and visit us. I'd love to take you on a tour so you can meet some of our residents.
Love that.
It's just, it truly, truly is, I think you'll find it a meaningful experience. I just want to add one little story. I was at Friendship Terrace a few weeks ago, attending one of a barbecue we were having, and it was after a long day, and I was kind of tired. It was probably about 7 o'clock. I was kind of ready to go home, and one of the residents came up to me and she said, "Miss Royster, I'd like for you to come see my apartment." And I was kind of at the door, so mm-hmm. I was getting ready to make that turn,
right,
to go to my car.
Exit thwarted.
And I almost begged off and said, "Oh, Miss Jones, that's not her name, obviously. I'm protecting the privacy of my residents."
Right, absolutely.
But I said, "Miss Jones, I almost said I'm really tired. I'll come back." But something told me then, no.
She's proud of her place. She wants
you
to come
go see her apartment. I said, "Okay, Miss Jones." And so we went to her apartment. And her apartment was so beautifully decorated. And she said, "I am 87 years old. My grandchildren and my children want me to come live with them, but I want to live right here. This is my home. This is where I'm with my friends, and I love my apartment." And at that moment, all of my fatigue evaporated. And it made me feel, really good about the work that we do, and mm-hmm. say, this is important. This is really important.
Yeah.
What a great story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So your website has got information on how to get involved.
Yes.
So you can sign up as a volunteer.
Yes.
Ways to support Seabury,
yes.
should you want to.
Should you have the means to support financially?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, we are a 501c3. We rely on donations. So, and believe me, fundraising is a huge part of what I do.
Of course.
It's very important for us to be able to continue our programs and to expand them. And that's tied to another issue that I think is really important to mention at this point. We're in a very uncertain environment right now in terms of, you look at the changes that are being discussed as we speak to the Affordable Care Act and how that might affect Medicaid funding and other types of funding. And we got two factors going right now. One, we've got this tsunami of older adults. If you look at the numbers, the population of older adults will explode, over the next 30 years. So by 2050, it is now estimated that the number of older adults who are 65 and older will number nearly 89 million, which is more than double the number of older adults that existed in 2010. Mm. So we've got this growing population of baby boomers mm-hmm. who are
and we're living longer.
Space. We're all living longer, mm-hmm. absolutely, which is a good thing. And at the same time, we have a funding environment that is pretty static at the federal level. I'm pleased to say this year in the budget process before the council, there were some increases that were passed for the D.C. Office on Aging's budget. But I think it's very important to note that the pie has to continue to get bigger. The funding must continue to increase to address the growing number of older adults. And it benefits everybody because if to the extent that we provide these support services in the home or in community affordable living communities, it lowers the cost to everyone, mm-hmm. to the entire community.
Yes.
As opposed to folks having to go prematurely into nursing homes.
Right.
That there is nothing really, we have to keep beating that drum at the local level, at the federal level, that funding must increase significantly to support the needs of older adults. We have to hold ourselves accountable for that.
I wish we had video of this.
I know.
Because Deborah's pounding the table.
Deborah is pounding the table.
That is some passion.
Yes. And she's right.
Absolutely.
She's absolutely right.
Absolutely.
So, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today. And let's remind our listeners where they can get all the information that they need.
I see seaburyresources.org. Deborah, is there a phone number that we can give people to call if they have questions or want to find out more information?
Yes, I am going. Yes, our main number is 202-289-5690. And our website is www.seaburyresources.org. And we'd be happy to respond and to try to help in any way that we can. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank both of you.
Well, thank you. This has been very informative. I've always seen the trucks go by, the vans go by,
you know,
but now
do,
I know
right?
exactly what you all do. So thank you.
And thanks for the great work that you do in the community as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here, Deborah. And we'll look forward to seeing you and your team at Fall Fest.
Definitely.
We'll be there. Thank you.
All right. Great. Okay, that is going to wrap up this episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.